We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, it is 7:15. Dr. Fred Lopez joins us, as he always does, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Maybe today is going to be a refresher course. We've been dealing with this for a long, long time now, and maybe sometimes we forget what we at one time knew. So with that, text comes in. Dr. Fred, is wearing a single layer of scarf over the face sufficient to not catch or spread COVID-19?
So a scarf is effective, particularly at decreasing the likelihood that somebody who's infected, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic, from infecting somebody else. So yes, the scarf would be helpful at decreasing their risk for transmitting the infection to somebody else. We know as well that these facial coverings also protect the wearer to a certain degree as well, but not to the same degree as protecting others. So, yes, a little bit of benefit to the wearer with the scarf on in terms of decreasing their risk for acquiring infection, but more helpful to decrease their risk of transmitting the infection to other people.
All right, from this text from 3802, last four numbers, masks are a placebo. I was a merchant marine officer, tankers, and I wore respirators for a large part of my life. You had to be fit tested to work or you would be exposed to benzene, which by PPM is larger, so being tested for an improperly worn mask will not protect you. Also, the new airborne possibility means the virus would not need to be attached to liquid droplets, making HEPA masks even more useless. So masks are a psychological way for people who are scared to feel better. Keep in mind, Dr. Fred, I am merely reading the text and trying to pass them along to you so that you can hopefully educate people in terms of what we can do to make this go away so schools can open and the economy can return to what it is and we can have football at all. Go ahead.
Yeah, boy, those all sound great. I think we would all love to be talking about going back to school and attending football games. But it sure seems like a far way off where we are right now with the increasing numbers and hospitalizations. And to get to the issue of masks, there are different types of masks. There's the scarf that somebody just mentioned in the previous question. Then there's surgical masks. And then there are N95 masks. And I'm not quite sure what mask the listener was describing, but the N95 masks are the masks that healthcare workers use as part of their PPE or personal protective equipment when evaluating patients with very contagious infectious diseases, particularly if they're going to be anywhere around aerosolized particles from those individuals. Those N95 masks are good at protecting the wearer, and they are also very good at protecting the wearer from infecting other people around them. So they're good for both. Both the wearer will have a decreased risk of acquiring infection and of transmitting the infection. And the listener makes a good point. In the recent week, the WHO is reevaluating the transmission, if you will, or possibilities of COVID-19. It's still felt that COVID-19 transmits itself mostly by person-to-person contact through respiratory droplets. But there are some reports that airborne transmission might be a way that it's transmitted. And the idea there is that the virus stays elevated, if you will, in the air for longer periods of time than felt to be before, because with droplets, we feel they just drop immediately to the floor. But with airborne transmission, these particles can stay in the air and infect multiple people. And there have been a few studies transmission cycles in a restaurant in China and a choir in the North Pacific Northwest of this country that showed a very high infection and transmission rate, possibly through this aerosol or airborne transmission of COVID-19. Again, it's not felt to be the primary way by which this virus transmits itself, but the WHO has expanded its guidance to include the possibility that in certain circumstances, airborne transmission of COVID-19 can occur. So I think it's an important point the listener brings up, that we need to be even more careful about wearing the masks and maintaining distancing, because in fact, if it's airborne, it can travel further and can stay in the air for longer periods of time, making it even more contagious than we already know it is. So more to come, I think, on this issue, but I think an important point that the listener brings up.
And I'm going to pass this text along, and I don't want to waste your time, but we can answer it when we come back. If doctors are so smart, why didn't they see this coming? That's what people think, so I'll pass that question along. 7:21 now, time for traffic on WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, doing a remedial class with Dr. Fred Lopez, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. And I don't mean that pejoratively. I really don't. This has been going on since February or late February, early March. And sometimes I forgot things that I once knew, and then I read it, and it's like, oh, yeah, I knew that, but I forgot it. So, Dr. Fred, somebody texted in and said, if doctors are so smart, why didn't they see this coming? What would you say to that question?
Well, I think we all have anticipated a pandemic at some point. The issue is that we talk about it, but they don't actually present themselves. We've had some threats in recent years with the Zika virus and the chikungunya virus and swine flu viruses. And we talk about them in anticipation of the possibility that they might take off, but they don't. And this time we've found a pandemic that we weren't prepared for. I think if we had been, we would have stocked up on masks and testing reagents and tried to develop a vaccine, all of those things that would be part and parcel to preparing for a pandemic like this that you can't really predict in real time. And there's no doubt about it that we're finding ourselves at this point trying to react to something that's taken off. We're in free fall to a certain degree across the United States. We're seeing almost 60,000 cases per day in this country. We continue locally to see increases in the number of cases. Our hospitalizations are 2.5 times what they were a month ago. They're at their highest level since mid-May. And I think the listener is prescient to say, you know, why didn't we know this was coming? But these are not predictable in the sense of being able to say that this is the virus or this is the pathogen that's going to create a pandemic. But clearly we're in the midst of that. And we are trying to learn as much as we can in real time to react in a way that will hopefully allow us to contain it. The remediation, if you will, that you're bringing up today is an important one to remind our listeners, to remind all of us that we need to get back to the basics. And we've been able already to address this locally with social distancing and masking and frequent hand washing and avoiding large gatherings. And we really need to remind ourselves of just how helpful that can be in mitigating this pandemic from continuing to take off. But right now, we are seeing numbers that are very concerning, and I think it's appropriate to do what you're doing this morning, which is to reinforce the things that we know can work and to apply what we've learned in the last, you know, since March. And that was when our first case was reported in Louisiana. And
if I can jump in, Dr. Fred, yeah. I'm sorry to get this questioning. It's the second day they texted it. I want to get to it. I'm sure. A teacher, wanted to know if there's a filter that I can place in my classroom to reduce virus spread.
So air conditioning is a concern, particularly with this issue that I just mentioned a couple of moments ago about airborne spread. Ideally, air conditioners would be air conditioners that would recirculate outside air in addition to inside air rather than just inside air continuously. And there are filters that can be helpful in addressing decreasing, I should say, the risk for infection. Many people are talking about even UV light as well for addressing infections that might be spread by air conditioning. But ventilation is the key. If you want to really decrease the risk for COVID-19 transmission in the classroom, in your home, it's ventilation, particularly if you have an air conditioner that just recirculates your inside air.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, your time, as always. We'll talk to you again, Dr. Fred Lopez. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, Professor of Medicine, Section of Infectious Diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Next up, Dr. Alex Biu, Assistant Secretary of Health for Louisiana Department of Health's Office of Public Health, a very busy man these days, as you can imagine, and we're glad that he's got some time to spend with us. And he will spend it with us when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.